Why don't we get started here? On time. Happy Father's Day, dads, and enjoy granddads and so forth. But let me pray. We'll roll. How's that sound? Lord, thank you for making us, for being our Father, Lord, and nothing that we did and deserve to be called your children, but you do, and it's your, not only that, but your pleasure to do so, as your word says, and even sinners like us, and what a price you paid to have send your son to the cross, and to pay for our sin, and to take on suffering the way you did for our eternity, and but also for our nows, particularly in the midst of suffering, Lord. And so as we continue to work through this, these lessons on suffering, Lord, help us, Lord. And even as we talk specifically today, Lord, help us to help others that are suffering. And as you do, Lord, keep us ever mindful of your gospel, the gospel of suffering, Lord. You were a suffering servant, your son, Jesus, and keep that before us now. We pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, a couple things. In our previous, come on in, guys. I think there's some lessons back there, or some handouts. In our previous lesson, we talked about how God helps us in our suffering, and specifically looked at Scripture. And today, in fact, that lesson is there as well, if you weren't here last week. But today we're going to speak more to, a little bit of that. How, as a sufferer, by the way, has anybody ever been a sufferer? That's a person that suffered. If you haven't, you will be, right? And so we're going to look at that a little bit more today, specifically in the context of, if you remember last week, I talked about in Tripp's book, he talks about the comforts that God gives us for sufferers. And he talked about God's grace, God's presence. We spent some time on these. God's sovereignty, God's purpose, and a heart at rest. And the one we did not cover, and we're going to talk about today for a while, is the comfort from God's people, and specifically the local church. And then next week we'll get into, you know, how we might comfort those that are suffering in the world beyond these walls, and specifically. So my next question would be, morning, there's a handout right there on the corner. The next question, has anybody ever helped someone that was suffering? Probably most of you have done that too, haven't you? And we'll get into that then. And with that, look at some things that I'm sure, you know, in fact, I would tell you probably most of the day is just going to be more reminders and remember and this kind of thing that you guys already know and do and so forth. And if there's some things that maybe you haven't thought about, throw that into the mix as well. But that's where we're at. I'm going to start with this just to kind of get us into the mindset of suffering. Tripp says, on one hand, it's ironic that as I'm coming to the end of this book on suffering, he's writing this book on suffering, I'm now dealing with yet another layer of it. And if you remember, we talk about, this is 2018, this was copyrighted, and 2014, I believe, is when he had his kidney failure, and five or six surgeries, tough surgeries, he's dealing with another layer of it. It's tempting to be absorbed in all the why questions we tend to ask. It's tempting to wallow in self-pity. It's tempting to be envious of friends who seem to have it so easy. It's tempting to give way to how long and what next fears. Morning, Amanda. There's a handout right there. It's tempting to wonder if God really does hear my cries for help. And once again, I'm confronted with the reality that suffering is not just physically, situationally, and relationally hard. It's also a moment-by-moment spiritual war. And it's vital that I beware of the dangers of this battle. But I'm reminded also that I'm not meant to fight this battle alone. And we've been talking about how God's in the middle of this battle. But He's also put people to come alongside other people, the church, in that battle. And that's where we're going to get in today. And he speaks a lot of that in here, some of the people that surrounded him spoke truth in his life. But keep in mind, we're talking about a fight for faith. And we'll kind of review some of that as well, because there is a spiritual war. And we may not sense it as much until we are in the battle. And so anyway, got your hand out there. By the way, Teresa, you want to start that around? And so again, if you're a person who likes fill in the blanks, we're actually going to do some of these blanks together. But we're going to first talk about being helped, being the sufferer, the comfort from God's people, receiving that comfort. And again, we talked about this last week. The strong, independent, self-made person is a delusion. And suffering is a messenger. It's an interesting comment. Suffering is a messenger telling us that to be human is to be dependent. And if you think that you're a self-made person, and God may take you through some suffering, quite frankly. But when you're suffering, you find out it isn't quite that case so many times. But so anyway, how would you fill in these blanks? And just a few principles here before we actually get into receiving the comfort from God's people. But how do you fill in those blanks, folks? The same word, same G word. It is God makes His invisible throw in the word grace. Yeah. Since it was Trip, it was probably going to be grace, wasn't it, if you read any Trip. But visible by sending people of grace to give grace to people who need grace. And I hear you say gift, Joel, and I don't, you know, I've got the hearing deal here, but it is a gift of grace. Yeah. From God. Yeah. So keep that before you. That you may be receiving and you may be on the sending side of God doing that stuff. Just keep that before you. And then I like his comment here as well as we look at this topic. His people are meant to be to look on his face, the touch of his hand, the sound of his voice, the evidence of his love, the picture of his presence and the visible demonstration of his faithfulness. Someone once talked about we are to be Jesus with skin on to people. I'm not sure who came up with that, but someone I read here quite a while back. But again, if you're a sufferer, you're going to be visited by people of grace, being the hands and feet, voice, love, presence, and faithfulness. Not perfect people, because there's no perfect people. But folks that are diligently trying to help you and care for you. That is what the church is supposed to be about. So kind of keep that principle before you as we talk about both sides of this. And as Jesus said, as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. And so I'm going to have you open your Bibles here to 2 Corinthians 1, 8 to 11. If I were to ask the question, who is probably the most godly guy in the New Testament, who would you say?
Jesus,
yes. And number two would be, Paul, could be Peter, John. We don't, you can fill in the blank there. But here's Paul, and I hope I get an opportunity to meet Paul someday and have some conversation. Paul came to faith a little bit later in his life, as I did. And I'd like to have some conversations about that, but a whole lot of other stuff. But Paul's a godly guy, probably doesn't even need help from other people, right? Everybody needs help. Does someone want to read that little section there where Paul is begging for help? 2 Corinthians 1, 8 to 11. And by the way, as we read this, think of suffering. So I ask you, what do you see in there relative to suffering? There's a lot there, but somebody want to read that? Go ahead if you got it.
For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he delivers us, and he will deliver us. On him, we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many.
Yeah. So I might ask, what do you see specifically? Anything hitting you there that, as far as from a sufferer's standpoint, maybe some principles we're going to talk about, but what hits you there about Paul? Anything regarding suffering specifically?
The gratitude that he has, knowing that God brought him out before.
Yeah. He's a grateful person. He's a grateful person. Talk about that as we move through here. Are we grateful, not just to God, but for God putting people in our lives to help us through suffering times? And talk more about that and just say, what else do you see there?
He's actually asking for help from others to pray.
He is. He's humble enough to ask, help me, help, specifically here by prayer. Yeah, exactly. Paul's got it all together. Hey, this is hard. I need help. Help us by prayer, says in verse 11. It's great. Even Paul. So maybe I should be asking for help. Do you pray for me? What else do you see? Anything specifically?
His hope and confidence in God.
Yeah. He tells him where his hope is. And so many times when it's probably more common when we're talking about our suffering. We want to tell Teresa just what it is I'm suffering for, or tell somebody else. Here's what my deal is. There's nothing there that tells us what he's necessarily suffering from specifically. But he is saying, it's beyond my strength, and my hope is in God. And so many times, and we would suggest, and talk more about this in just a second, that when you're talking to people about being honest with your suffering, he's actually being very honest there, isn't he? This is hard. We don't want you to be unaware, brothers. This is utterly burdensome, beyond our strength. I mean, he's humbly acknowledging his weakness. But he doesn't necessarily talk about the specifics so much as, and maybe they already know, we don't know, but so many times we want to get wrapped up, and there's nothing wrong with that, but for Phil to help me out in my suffering, what I really need is talk to me about my spiritual life. How am I dealing with this? And talk more about that in just a second. Just, Scott, how you doing with this struggle, this faith fight? And how can I be helping you in that? And quite frankly, when I had vertigo, Phil, you can give me some suggestions about vertigo if you want to, but That's not where the big fight was. And if you got some help on that, I mean, I'm doing fine right now. For the last 7 months, I've been very good. And that's appreciated. But I probably had 25 to 30 helps. Hey, you try this, Scott, try that. Nothing wrong with that. But how you doing in the middle of one of those episodes? It's a great piece of scripture in reminding us of how that we might look at some of these things. So let's look at them a little more specifically. I know some of you maybe like to fill in blanks, some of you don't, but let's start with this. And these, again, are principles in this book. And again, I highly suggest it to help with sufferers as well as suffering yourself. But we talked a little bit about this last week, didn't we? Don't suffer in heroic isolation. It's a recipe for disaster. I think I mentioned last week that one thing in Kaylee's situation and some of mine, in the last months, it just arrived in my mind. God put it on my mind, heart, through reading, maybe messages. I don't know. It's experiences that, you know, Scott, I know you've heard that you need to be more dependent on the Lord. But it went from there to, I am dependent on the Lord. This is not an if, I am. And it's kind of like the One Nation Under God thing I mentioned maybe a week or two ago. But One Nation Under God, and I think it was Pastor Summers mentioned, well, we're One Nation Under God, whether people believe it or not. And even as Joel said, there's no word for Hebrew, no word coincidence in Hebrew. God is in control. And for me to fight that temptation of self-imposed isolation is something we don't want to do. And so why do we do it? I don't know. I've asked that question. Why do we fight this self-sufficiency? Why do we have this self-sufficiency mindset
don't
at times?
Depend on others.
Yeah.
Don't want to inconvenience others.
I think there's something to that. Yeah. And
I don't like your old fashioned pride.
I wrote that down. Bingo. So it takes some humility. I mean, we've talked about Kaylee. She at times has not wanted me around. She doesn't want to see Dad. She doesn't want Dad to see her in that. I've had to talk to her about this. I said, Kaylee, you remember when you were home and I was going through an episode of vertigo and my head was in the bucket and you were right there. I can be there and you don't worry about that. And we can't worry about that. We can't. So let's talk about some more of this stuff. Again, admit your weakness. It's an opportunity. Weakness is not the enemy. Weakness is not the enemy. 2 Corinthians 12. The thorn in the flesh. Go right there. Such sweet reminders from Paul. If you tell yourself and others that you are strong, that you won't seek and they won't offer the enabling, strengthening grace that every sufferer needs. And it's interesting as I started thinking about this last, you know, when we are weak and we find out, yeah, God is strong in these circumstances, situation, Scott doesn't get the glory for being strong. God gets the glory. And it's his strengthening, not mine. And I'm dependent on that. Whether Scott knows it or not, I am dependent on that. We are dependent on that. So it's interesting in 2 Corinthians 12, he says, I am content in weakness, hardships, and insults. Man, those are things that will come at you with suffering, won't they? And he's content. We got another lesson later on contentment. It's a sweet lesson that's coming. So let's move on a little bit. Determined to be honest. Not about complaining about the details of why, again, or what, but how are we doing with this? And, man, I don't want, my flesh doesn't want you to know how weak I am spiritually. And, but you're not going to know, and you're not going to be able to help me unless you know where I'm at spiritually and emotionally and otherwise. And I think we can get in troubles when we worry about what other people are thinking about it. And we've talked about that with Kaylee, that she can be a people pleaser at times, and I think we all can, quite honestly. And but don't worry about that. I would say we probably need to be cautious about complaining, and you probably don't like to hang around with people that complain all the time. I don't know where that fine line is, but still sharing and be open and honest, and yeah.
I think when it comes to that, because I find myself in that situation where I don't like to complain, but I do like to talk with people and maybe talk out a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of people don't know how to maybe structure it.
Verbalize it.
Or verbalize it where it's not a complaint. This is the problem I'm trying to tackle. You know, and ask for advice. They just want somebody to hear their problem.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to get into this listening aspect here in just a second, too. But sometimes it, yeah. Great, great point. Here we go. Again, be humbly honest. About the spiritual battle, and invite those who love you. They know you know they love you, and you know they love God, to be warriors with you in the spiritual battle. How about some Proverbs? Got some Proverbs? Someone want to look up? Someone want to look up 11:14? Someone 12:15? Someone want to come, Amanda? 13:10? Got her. Thanks, Kevin. 19:20? Got her. These are pretty short, but pretty quick, pretty wise. No pun intended. But let's look at these, and then we'll talk about some of these principles. Someone have got 11:14? I'm not even sure who raised their hand. Go ahead.
Where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there is victory.
Yeah. How about 12:15?
The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel.
Yeah. 13:10.
By insolence comes nothing but strife, but with those who take advice is wisdom.
Yeah. In 19:20.
Listen to advice and accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future.
Yeah. There's some words there that are multiplied a few times. One is advice. The other one is wisdom. And quite frankly, these Proverbs are telling we do need help. And so let's look at that a little bit and why. And maybe that'll help us with the motivation to seek help when we're suffering. How about this? Confess your blindness. Sin still lives in us and blinds us. There are pockets of spiritual blindness in all of us. Except me, of course. No. We can go there, Cam. And you are spiritually blind. No. And we've got to confess we've got some of that blindness. But God has placed his children in your light to function as instruments of seeing, to offer you sight, insight that you wouldn't have by yourself. Praise God. Maybe you're thinking of a time or a person right now that, man, I needed that. May not have wanted that, but I needed that. And here we go. Who talks to yourself more than anybody else? You do, right? It's going on even now. Let people interrupt your self-talk. Because you're constantly telling yourself things, and sometimes they're inaccurate. Sometimes unbiblical. Sometimes lies from the pit of hell. And suffering will bring that out pretty easily, taking you back to maybe some times when you've suffered. Problem, it's very hard to say to ourselves what we need to hear. I think it's in 2 Timothy where it talks about my itching ears. And they had teachers that were massaging those itching ears. Tell me what I want to hear, not what I need to hear. I always loved having assistant coaches that would help me with that. Tell me what I need to see. And because I knew I can get so focused on areas I need some help. I appreciate Teresa so much. Most of our coaches would say they've got a spouse that helps them coach, believe it or not. Not the X's and O's maybe necessarily, but some of the wisdom of dealing with circumstances and situations was probably more vital than the X's and O's anyway. How about this? Bingo. This was spiritual blindness. You'll be defensive when someone points out something you don't see, or thankful. I think maybe that's what you were made a point of here a little bit ago, Robert, and being thankful for the people that God has put in your life, even when they're telling me stuff that's not easy. We can be a defense attorney pretty easily. Proverbs 27:6, wounds from a friend can be trusted. Last few weeks, we talked a lot about trusting God in the middle of suffering. But we also have to trust the people God's put in our lives when we suffer as well. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. I can recall we had lost, I think, 3 games. Not to bring in coaching in all the time here, guys. We had lost 3 or 4 games in a row, some close games. And the last one, my boss, Rob Houchin, as some of you know, and hung around here, taught a lot of men's Sunday school class. I came into my office after a tough loss, and I was a pretty frustrated guy. I asked him, well, I was a pretty young Christian guy. I said, well, Rob, what do you think God thinks about this? And he was good enough to tell me, I don't think he's seen it like you are, Scott. I was wanting a little sympathy. Don't we like that sympathy? And I needed truth. He was good enough to speak truth in love. We'll talk about that in just a second, too. Anyway, here's this seeking wise counsel. Probably got some people already in your life. Who are the wise people you got in your life that you trust? And you know they love you and love the Lord. You can provide clarity, particularly in the middle of suffering. Then let's read 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 to finish up this section, because it kind of leads into the next section here. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. Someone want to pull that up?
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves received from God.
Yeah. A lot of comfort in there, isn't there? I think four of them, I think. And you look at the NIV, I think you see a fifth. But what's Paul trying to tell us there? Or God trying to tell us? What are you seeing?
We're to comfort as he comforts us.
Yeah. God comforts us in the same way we're to comfort others. I'll talk more about that in just a second in detail, but as we make transition into this next side, as a sufferer now, will God ever use your suffering and the comfort that he's given you in your suffering to help somebody else? And we know that is the case, don't we? Comfort is a two-way street that we can help other folks. Your suffering positions you to be uniquely sympathetic, an insightful tool in the lives of others. There's many times that I've told people wrongly, and I've over the years I've kind of learned to correct myself. I understand what I don't really understand what you're going through because I haven't been there. I can try to understand. And it's interesting to me because I think I've mentioned this before, that I have been fired from coaching. Have I mentioned that? Man, I'm really humble today, aren't I? Proud of my humility, as my old boss would say. I got an FCA coach this spring. It was fired. And our opportunities to talk about that and share about that and help him work through that. I think in a lot of ways, the coach is not fired. They're concerned about being fired, probably unfortunately. But to help them understand, I don't want you to coach not to be fired. I want you to coach out of joy. And you may be fired. I mean, you may be. And maybe wrongly fired. Possibility. But Teresa and I had a miscarriage years ago. And it was a hard, hard thing. And we sat down with Pastor Summers and Pastor Denny, didn't we, Teresa? And got some great counsel. And one thing that I think it was Pastor Summers maybe said before we left there is, don't be surprised, particularly you, Teresa, if some folks don't come to you in the next months, year, also going through this same kind of suffering. And you had several, didn't you? Yeah. And were able to help them. Yeah, they shared scripture with us. We'll talk more about that in just a second, too. I mentioned Kaylee has mentioned that one thing that she's seen out of this and counting blessings and being thankful and so forth is that she's probably going to be a pastor's wife sometime pretty soon. And she's going to be able to help other people through their suffering a whole lot better because she's been through this kind of suffering. Yeah. And you folks have been through it too. You've been through some suffering. Don't lose sight of the fact he may be using that. Because you are uniquely positioned. I like this comment here. You know when to speak and when to listen, where comfort is needed, and when it's time to confront. We'll talk about that in just a second too. You know how to lovingly break through anger and defensiveness. And I love that word, lovingly break. So just keep that before you as a sufferer. So now let's turn the corner here and let's talk about helping people, helping sufferers fight for faith. We've talked a little bit about this in the past. You probably heard it said, Newcastle, not just a church with biblical counseling, but a church, that's us. That's us folks who counsels biblically. We want to have biblical, our words, in counseling other folks. I'm not talking about the formal biblical counseling that is done around here, and there's some great biblical counseling that's done around here, but I'm talking about the day-to-day stuff that maybe you're going to run into somebody in the hallway here in just a few minutes. But I want to give counsel that's biblical, and because I know that's counsel that helps. If you haven't read this book, I would strongly recommend it. It is probably an introduction to counseling biblically, not for necessarily for biblical counselors, but for anybody. And it is just a great book, and I probably have maybe have quoted from it already. But and then I would just say this before we get in: if you're looking for someone to help through their suffering, this is just a small segment of our prayer list. There's people that are suffering, and this is just a small segment. There's a whole lot of other folks out there suffering that are looking for help, and maybe didn't put it on the prayer list. And you know some. They may not be on this list, may not even be at Newcastle, maybe other folks, but there's folks that are, we're a broken world, we've talked about that. And so let's talk a little bit about this. And counseling, but it's interesting to me, again, I had some time with a gentleman that I think I can share this by the name of Brother B the other day. And some of you know Brother B. He's in Snyder Village right now, and he's suffering. No pain, told me, but just, and I'm sitting in the chair, and we talked for a while, and Brother B's usually the guy that's on in the chair, not in the bed, right? In Snyder Village and other places, and his suffering was because of the fact that as I listened and talked, and Lila was there, and he'd rather be on the other side, and just trying to figure out and understand what being on this side is all about, and that's been hard for him. And so pray for Brother B. And but it was interesting to me as he would make comments where you could detect some suffering, and he would. I've never heard Brother B talk about that before. But he was honest with me. But he would come right back with a verse from the Bible with a but somewhere in there. And it was quick. It was, and then you see the smile on his face. And that happened probably a half a dozen times. And I'm sitting there as I left thinking, that's what we're talking about. God's word here. And how someone shared God's word, and he studied God's word and so forth. But he is comforting himself. But how can we comfort others with God's word? That it can be on their lips just as quick as it was for Brother B. And so I'm not sure who was ministering to who the other day. Know what I'm saying? And because I probably will get old one of these days. Anyway, let's talk about this just a little bit. Let me ask you, and we'll get into a quick list here, some things. What do you do, or what might you suggest, maybe some principles or some examples of some things you've done to help people that are suffering? And I could put a list on the whiteboard. I've got it here, but I don't think I will. What have you, any suggestions, folks? Either principles, or you counseled maybe somebody, or helped somebody in any way? What do you think?
Pray.
Pray. Yeah. We can all pray. We'll not be right there to pray for them either, but we can pray. We can pray.
Be loving, not condemning.
Yeah.
It's your fault you're suffering.
We'll talk about that in just a second. You know, I can go there, Joel. You deserve this. And, yeah, we're supposed to weep with those who weep, aren't we? Not this way. In a gentle, loving manner. Even sharing truth in love, aren't we? And, what else do you do? Suggest in principles.
Sometimes it's just doing an act of service.
Yeah.
And not necessarily giving advice, talking. I'm not saying you don't listen, but sometimes people just need.
They need stuff. Physical needs.
Whatever.
Yeah. And don't keep that in mind. It might just be your help in that way. Our daughter, what did she, $500 worth of meal cards or whatever. What's that called?
Meal train.
Yeah. From her school. Whenever school or church, or maybe both.
Both.
Yeah. And where she was a lot, or has been a lot of times, she can't cook. Just some of the practical needs. We've got some things around here. We've got a benevolence fund. We've got, but meal trains, funeral meals, just a lot of the practical stuff that, it's good.
Sometimes a note of encouragement or a card.
This hip brought probably 8 or 10 cards in, I would say, probably, right, Teresa?
And many more texts.
Yeah, many more, a lot of text. You know,
easy way.
I turned 70 yesterday. I was suffering. I probably had 50 texts. Don't send me a text. Just joking. But you don't know what kind of encouragement. Has anybody ever had a word or a call or a text of encouragement right when you needed it? I can recall specifically, as it coming to mind, we were struggling. And this, again, coaching situation, and a couple kids had been injured, and I probably talked about this, and I had a father call me out of the blue, a godly guy that just said, "I'm praying for you, Scott, and know that. I know you're going through it." And that timely note, and we don't know how timely it is, but... quite frankly, this hip thing wasn't that hard. You know, I told Kyle Krall, this is easier than going to the dentist. So, but I appreciate the cards anyway. But there's a lot of things you folks have done. And let's just go through a list. And maybe this, maybe some of this stuff is maybe some principles and maybe some of the practical stuff, some that you've already talked about. But let's look at some of this. How about 1 Corinthians 12:26 and Romans 12:15? Anybody want to look those up real quick?
I've got them.
You got them? We already talked about this. Go ahead. Which one you had? 12 or 1?
I've got both, actually.
Okay.
The 1 Corinthians 12:26, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together.
Yeah.
And then the Romans is just a little shorter. Rejoice with those, rejoice, weep with those who weep.
Yeah. Even as you mentioned, Joel, sometimes and you know what? When you're rejoicing, I'm a little jealous. I'd like to have a little bit of that rejoicing, you know? It's not going so well here, but our flesh can take us there, can it? And that seems like pretty simple, but let's go here. We suffer as a family. I love this comment, bound together in Christ in a way that is stronger even than blood. We talk about family, helping family. But we're drawn together by the blood as well, aren't we? Not our blood, the blood of Christ. We are a family. And how do families suffer? Think about how a family would suffer, how we can help people in our family. This is our church family. How about someone want to read Hebrews 3, 12 to 14?
Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by this deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end.
Yeah. And we can, particularly in the middle of suffering, sometimes our hearts can get hard. Like, what is going on? You heard Paul Tripp, and when I kicked things off here, what is going on here? Why? And so forth. We can go there, tempted to go there with a hard heart. But a key word there, or a key couple words, I think, anyway, in verse 13, but exhort one another. Encourage one another. Comment, Robert?
No, I have a question.
Go ahead.
The wise person turned 70 yesterday. In 13, where it says, you know, encourage one another every day, as long as it's called today, I'm not sure if I understand what that means. As long as it's called today.
Yeah, I'm not. What I get from that is, hey, I'll wait till tomorrow to give them a phone call, or I think just the urgency of it may be needed today.
Yeah. Or maybe encourage people on days that end in Y. Maybe that's another way to yeah. phrase it, as long as it's today.
And obviously that would be include them all, wouldn't it? And so let's talk a little bit real quick here about the ministry of encouragement. And I think this is a great, we've talked about this. The goal is faith. It's a fight for faith, to help them in their faith. Not merely to make them feel better, though that is good. It is that they might believe and be encouraged by the promises of God. And those can stay here, whether we're there or not, in presence and so forth. But, yeah. So maybe talk about counseling biblically. How about this? Warning and correction can actually be part of that encouragement we've already talked about. And here's where it talks about, so that we no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried on by every wind of doctrine. And man, suffering can lead us to thinking so worldly, I think. By human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way to Him who is at the head, into Christ. I've asked, and I ask myself sometimes, but we've been in some pastoral searches and interviews with potential pastors. One question I often ask is, well, do you lean more to the truth side or to the love side? And it's not a question to catch anybody on, but I think it's something that I've got to ask myself at times. Hey, how am I doing with this? And maybe there's, depending on the circumstances, a time where more love is needed than truth, and truth more than love. But they've got to come together. They've got to come together, don't they? And some of the hows here and the principles here of helping other folks, keep that one before you. Yeah. How about this? For those that have been involved in some biblical counseling, you probably have studied this section of 1 Thessalonians. It says, where we urge you, brothers and sisters, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. Different folks are needing different kinds of helps, aren't they? Yeah. And even as someone pointed out here, we're not going to know that unless we listen, and talk more about that in just a second too. But yeah. A good biblical counselor will pray for wisdom and discernment regarding the needs of the sufferer. And again, and always being patient, as it says in 1 Thessalonians. But we need to pray for wisdom and discernment. How and why, even as you talked about listening and discerning, just what are the needs? Obviously, the greatest need is the gospel. But what are, yeah, where is this person? How about this? Can you fill in those blanks? As we bear with one another in Ephesians 4:2 with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Sometimes we can come at this with less humility. I got all the answers for you. Listen to me. And then sometimes we don't want to be gentle, even as Joel and I have talked to here a little bit. But sometimes this is a patient battle. It takes a long time. As I got here, let's move on here to, am I getting out of line here? Yeah, here we go. Remember that suffering is a struggle for faith. So ask them questions. Ask them, how's your faith? How's it going? Not how's your vertigo going? How's your faith going, Scott? Again, more the hows, not the whats and whys. And then reinforce the faith with the truth of the gospel. A while back we talked about taking them through the goodness of gospel tour, the goodness of God tour. And just some principles here again. How about this one, you biblical counselors? If you're going to counsel biblically with anybody, that is a big principle, isn't it? Again, we like to bring out answers. I've got this answer, and I got it for you right now. And how about this one? No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. Maybe I've gone through some of this. And with that, perhaps you had the same struggle for the faith in your own heart. Then again, sharing our own experiences. It's where it was with the coach that was suffering. It's interesting to me, again, some of you spent some time with Brother B. I mean, it led to story after story after story. Him sharing stuff, me sharing some stuff, him sharing stuff, me sharing some stuff. And I'm like, wow, this has been a joy in the last hour and a half, 2 hours. But I was blessed the other day from that. I think I'll go back. Maybe he won't be in Snyder Village. I don't know. Maybe I'll go back to his house again. But yeah. Again, 2 Corinthians 1:3-4, those words are, you don't have that one down there, but is comfort. There's all the comforts in there. Sufferer may already know the answers to their questions. Perhaps, again, remind them. Help them remember. We get that spiritual amnesia, particularly in the middle of suffering. And other times, just listening. Again, some principles here. And you remember from last week, if you were here last week, again, the Bible. Faith comes from hearing, and it's a faith battle, hearing from the Word of Christ. So read the Bible to them, maybe, instead of, last week we talked about reading the Bible. Pray the Bible. We talked about that a little. Pray the Bible with them. Offer to memorize Scripture with them. How about that one? You remember what that other S was if you were here last week? Some of you may be better off not doing this. I don't know. But that is sing the truths of faith with them. All right? Yeah. I probably don't do a lot enough for Teresa. But I'm not singing around the house too much, am I? But maybe have some music on. And then share stories. I talked about Brother B there. Yeah. I love Isaiah 55:11. Even as my stories, the Bible is so important to it. It will not return empty. I think the NIV is void. Yeah, share Scripture. How about Psalm 56:1-8? Let me read that because I know we're getting running on time here a little bit. Listen carefully. Maybe I'll emphasize. 56:1-8. Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me all day long, an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? All day long they injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps as they have waited for my life. For their crime will they escape. In wrath cast down the peoples, O God. Now I love verse 8. But you have kept my count. You have kept count on my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Did God keep count of my tossings last night when I was tossing in bed? He does. My tears are in his bottle. They're in his book. And sometimes, again, we just need to remind people that he knows. And you know that he knows your suffering. And James 5:16, all of James, a lot of James 5, the end of James talks about praying for one another. Talks about even the elders coming and praying for the sick. That is very likely talking about spiritual and emotional sickness, not necessarily physical sickness. So the ministry of prayer. As Pastor Summers would say years ago, it's a first resource, not our last resort. And how about this? Even as I think about the urgency, I'll be praying for you as opposed to, I love it every once in a while. Out there in the hallways, you'll see somebody in the corner praying for somebody. Right there. I don't do that enough. Right there. Contribute to the needs of saints. Seek to show hospitality. Romans 12:13. Here's the physical needs as you were talking about, Robert. We talked about that. The practical needs. Again, keep in mind the greatest needs the gospel. And how about those friends of Job, they get hammered, don't they? But it does say, and they sat with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to him. For they saw that his suffering was very great. I've never sat with anybody for 7 days and seven nights without opening my big fat mouth. I got answers. Well, probably should give them a little more credit than what they get a lot of times, but as the ministry of presence, Joe's friends were a great comfort until they opened their mouths. But anyway. Well, there's just some stuff there that I think a lot of you already knew. But all right. Yeah, you figure you got to finish with a song, don't you, Scott? All right. Some of you know who Toby Mac is, don't you? How about this song? A Little Church. You know this one? You probably heard this one maybe. I don't know. Check out the lyrics. You're the church, folks.
For years I've run the fast lane and my treads are wearing thin. Left me on the shoulder, broken and pulled over, alone in my skin. Some things weren't my choosing. Sometimes I let the charge. Chasing dreams are so obscene. Down on Fool's Boulevard, I could use a little church right now. Love to have a little family around. I've been feeling so overwhelmed. I could use a little church right now. This wilderness I'm in, I lost my way with the loss of love that came to a bitter end. So far from running over, so close to giving in. It's gonna take the hands that made me to make me whole again. I could use a little church right now.
Church right now. Love to have a little family. We'll just shut that down as you go have a little church out there. How's that sound? Better pray for us. Let me do that real quick here. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the church, Lord, your ordained body in this local church, Newcastle Bible, Lord, that has helped me through suffering. And so then, and Lord, help me to help others, Lord, and when they're suffering. And let us be your church, Lord, your hands and feet, your voice. Most importantly, your love, Lord, as we would do that, Lord. And I ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, folks. Go have a little church. Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy birthday and happy Father's Day.
Yeah, yeah. Bringing 70 in a little easier here.
Until you hit 72.